This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Science is something mistaken by a whole bunch, as by many people, is a whole bunch of amazing information. But the most important thing about science, the foundation of the whole thing, is the scientific method. Observation, hypothesis development, experimentation, and formulation of a theory that then in turn drives a new hypothesis. Doing science demands hands-on involvement, and that is exactly what the WAVE Foundation, the not-for-profit partner of the Newport Aquarium, is allowing children in the elementary classrooms of our region to experience with its living curriculum initiative. WAVE is working to raise awareness of aquatic life through direct action, like this Saturday's annual River Sweep and other programs. We're joined today by the Executive Director of the WAVE Foundation at the Newport Aquarium, Scott Wingate. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Scott, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hi there, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So, What's the mission of the WAVE Foundation? Everybody knows what the aquarium is. We've all taken our children or our grandchildren or just ourselves over there. But what's the WAVE Foundation?
Certainly. We are on a mission to excite, engage, and educate our community about the wonders of aquatic life and the importance of conservation. And as the nonprofit partner of the Newport Aquarium, we believe community change begins with education. And so that's why we love delivering these programs to youth, to teach them not only discrete facts about animals and how amazing sharks and penguins and the oceans are, but also to teach them the scientific process. And we do that by bringing live animals into classrooms. And it's pretty remarkable. We're one of the only places in the entire nation that has traveling aquariums. So you could imagine about the size of your coffee table at home, a movable traveling aquarium with sharks in there. So we bring them into classrooms. And for the first time, for many of these students in third, fourth, and fifth grades in Cincinnati Public, not only is this the first time they've ever seen a shark eye to eye, ever made observations and asked those important questions about these animals, but it's the first time they've ever felt the sensation of salt water. So the animals are sometimes secondary to that really unique experience.
What is salt water?
Yes, it's interesting and it's fun to watch the light bulbs come on in the students' minds, because bringing live animals into classrooms elicits a natural curiosity that some learners don't get from a textbook. And so we are tracking this program, the Living Curriculum Initiative program. We visit the schools three times a year. We also offer—
And that's targeted at third and fourth graders, eventually fifth?
Yes. So the unique and sort of differentiator with this program is we follow the same cohort of students from third grade to fourth grade to fifth grade, tracking and measuring their progress along the way. And we've got an independent National Science Foundation postdoc researcher who's doing all the evaluation and assessment for this program. And I have to say a great thanks to the Lewis and Louise Nippert Charitable Foundation, as well as the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. Family Foundation. Without their funding, we would not be able to do the Living Curriculum Initiative program.
And how many school systems or how many schools or however you want to count it are you able to reach in a year, in an academic year?
In an academic year, just for the Living Curriculum Initiative program, we are in 15 different schools throughout Cincinnati Public, and most of them are Vision 2020 schools.
Meaning?
These are neighborhood schools that sometimes don't get all the flair and funding that other schools within the district get.
The magnet schools?
Yes. And so it's an opportunity for us to really bring science alive and make the process of science fun and understandable and relatable.
Well, I mean, one of the things is it's pretty amazing to watch young children. I have grandchildren, and watch young children, and they're just going to plunge in. And if you go to the aquarium, you have places where they can reach in and touch things. So what you're saying is you're getting this out to people, to children who maybe don't have the opportunity to come to the aquarium.
Absolutely. And we're also adding that very focused effort on teaching the scientific process, as that aligns with the state standards and with the increased pressure from national and state standards on standardized testing. For schools, we understand that it's really important, and the Living Curriculum Initiative program was actually co-created with the science chair at Cincinnati Public School District along with our educators.
Okay. So want to be clear on this initiative that, yes, you bring sharks and eventually rays into the classroom, but it's not just bringing them in and observing them. You actually are helping to structure an experiment to take children through the process of the scientific process, right? The scientific method?
Yes, precisely. So we'll visit each classroom three times annually. On the first visit, the students will be able to make observations and ask questions, and then our educators will turn that into a comparative testable question. Then we'll come back.
Hypothesis?
Yes. Make their predictions and hypotheses, and then we'll come back for the second visit, and the students will then collect information and data to begin to answer and generate knowledge about their question. And then on the third visit, this is a lot of fun and it's great to watch. Part of doing science is presenting it and telling people what you learned from this novel question and observation. You collected the information to support or deny your hypothesis. And then on the third visit, all the students get up and present what they learned. So we've had stingray and shark raps. We've had interpretive dance. And then we've just had the, you know, classic poster. This is what we observed. This is what we learned. And this was the behaviors that we saw. So it's a lot of fun going through the entire three-visit process.
Third and fourth graders, fifth graders, they're in a pretty creative period. And they aren't as self-conscious as some of the older students are. We have a caller who has called in who I think sort of touches another part of what the WAVE Foundation likes to do. Carl, what is your question?
Hi. So I'm calling. I'm interested in understanding a little bit how someone could get involved in the WAVE, I guess this portion of the WAVE Foundation. I'm a donor to the WAVE Foundation, routinely go to the aquarium. I actually did very similar activities in Columbus, Ohio. I focused on reptiles and amphibians because they're a little bit easier to transport. But I would bring animals into public school classrooms, discuss life cycles, camouflage, survival, venom versus poison, all kinds of whatever basically the teacher was teaching on at that point in time when I came to the classroom. So I guess my question would be, to sum it up, how does someone get involved in something like this if we feel like we could contribute or we want to contribute?
Scott, that is a great question.
Yes, it is. And thank you for your support of the WAVE Foundation. And we would love to have you on. Volunteerism is a huge pillar for our foundation. And we have annual training periods where we bring people on, orient them to our programs, train them up, and then send them out into the field. We'd love to have you. Just hop on our website, wavefoundation.org, and click volunteerism.
So volunteerism is a option there on the website, and you can get plugged in and actually do things.
Yes, you can come out into the community with us and watch those light bulbs pop on when we bring live animals into classrooms.
And who knows what gets splashed. But so the WAVE Foundation is also involved in lots of other things, lots of conservation activities. Talk a little bit about that, because as I looked at the WAVE Foundation, the website, et cetera, you're involved pretty broadly, geographically even.
Yes, we are. So we like to say we focus our conservation efforts locally, nationally, and internationally. And annually, this is a fun thing we always like to do. We travel down to Washington, D.C., and we are asked to present on Capitol Hill because we're one of the only places in the nation with these traveling aquariums. So we bring live sharks to the Rayburn House on Capitol Hill each May, and we get a chance to interact with our legislators and hopefully inspire and influence them to pass more ocean-friendly legislation. For instance, in 2015, we went down there and we thanked them for passing a ban on microbeads. Now, microbeads are those small plastics that you can find in hand washes, face washes, and they passed that ban on microbeads because plastics are a pretty major challenge, conservation challenge that we have in the 21st century, especially when we're talking about our oceans.
The idea of taking sharks to Congress, I think it's probably fraught with possible images there, but I'm not going to go there.
I won't either, but yes, there's a lot of good banter back and forth about that.
So plastics, there's the microbeads, the whole issue of plastic bags and plastic water containers and plastic fill in the blank has really become a problem in aquatic life. Is that right?
Certainly. It's become a major problem. And unfortunately, as a society, we've become plastics blind. So we're surrounded by plastics all the time. And so one initiative that we've taken on at the WAVE Foundation at Newport Aquarium is we're involved in the Aquarium Conservation Partnership. And our whole challenge with that partnership is to eliminate single-use plastics. So if you go to the aquarium, you won't find a single-use plastic. In the restaurant, if you go to a WAVE Foundation event, there won't be any single-use plastics because those are the main and biggest issue when it comes to ocean plastics, those single-use plastics. And so hopefully with the Aquarium Conservation Partnership, there's about 19 other aquariums involved, and we are all pushing our large corporate partners, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, et cetera, to try to reduce some of their single-use plastics.
And some cities are getting on board with this and outlawing single-use plastics. It's starting to catch hold.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about aquatic life that comes from the oceans. But what's your relationship? You're right on the Ohio River. What's your relationship to aquatic life in the Ohio River?
Well, we have actually a new traveling aquarium that features lake sturgeon that were native to the Ohio River, so we're able to talk about that. And then the interesting thing about – I used to work at the zoo, and so speaking about terrestrial animals, it was easy. It was right there, you know. However, our behavior as humans transcend that terrestrial environment and affect the aquatic environment. So if we can teach kids to love the sharks that they see and interact with and make observations about – then we can connect that back to the behavior that they have because their behaviors directly impact our Ohio River, the wildlife there, and then ultimately out into the Gulf and those sharks that they just fell in love with. So we try to really tie that entire single water theme all together and make it more concrete rather than some abstraction.
I just can't resist telling this story. Two Christmases ago, my granddaughter, who would have been 3 and a half, just over 3 at the time, visited the aquarium and to see the Santa in the shark tank.
Yes.
Was afraid of the Santa, but told her mother, don't worry, the sharks will protect me. So reversed.
Sounds like there's a place for her in our organization.
Oh, there's definitely a place for her in your organization. Back to the Ohio River.
Yes.
Do you have a relationship? In fact, I don't quite know what the status of this is, but Thomas More had a great river research station at Old Dam 35 on the Kentucky side down on Route 8. Is it still there and are you working with them?
Yes and yes. It is one of the most incredible research stations along the Ohio River. Dr. Chris Lorenz at Thomas More does a fabulous job.
He is amazing.
He really is. We have a great partnership with Thomas More College, the research that they're doing. We also have an internship program with them and their marine biology tract. They just hired a new professor, Dr. Stephanie Snyder, out there who is just dynamic and fantastic. She was part of our lecture series that we host at the aquarium. And yes, Thomas More is doing some amazing work out there under the leadership of Dr. Lorenz.
So does that work because it's – does that work go through the WAVE Foundation?
It goes in partnership. It's sort of a triumvirate, if you will, Newport Aquarium, Thomas More, and WAVE Foundation. We have a working services agreement. And actually next week we're bringing summer camp kids out to the field station and Dr. Lorenz is going to bring them around. They're going to go electrofishing and do biological inventories and really get hands-on and see what research looks like in the field in our backyard and being inspired by some amazing leaders at Thomas More.
I had the opportunity a few years ago to spend some time at the research station, and it is absolutely amazing.
It's delightful.
And Carl called before about volunteerism directly with the WAVE Foundation, but you also collaborate with other organizations. And one of the volunteer activities that's coming up this Saturday is the Ohio River Sweep in cooperation with Orsanko, which is the main sponsor, I think.
Yes.
This has been around a long time. Talk a little bit about what that is and what kind of opportunity that is.
Sure. I'd love to invite all of our listeners to come down, meet us at BB Riverboats. We have a small light breakfast where we
So BB is right there on the Newport?
On the Newport side of the Ohio River.
Okay.
And we collect all of our volunteers. We give everybody a free T-shirt. We also give them gloves, give them instructions on where to go, what to pick up, what not to pick up. We always give out fun prizes for the most unique and interesting item. And over the years, we've found some really odd items. And so that's always a fun shared experience to have, and we're able to collectively pool our resources and clean up the banks of the Ohio River, one of our most precious water resources in the region.
So how far up and down the river would volunteers locally be working?
So our volunteer set, they've really got the river sweep very well organized. It's along all the banks of the Ohio River, multiple agencies, thousands of participants. And from our working area is from the confluence of the Licking River and the Ohio River down to about the People Purple Bridge. So that's our swath of land that we go down and pick up anything
that
we can
find. So now one way of looking at that is, that wouldn't be that big a distance. How much do you get out of that?
Pounds and pounds of both things that can be recycled and unrecyclables. And if there's a rain event or a flooding where there's not much debris, then we'll just start to move back along the banks and then up to the parking lots to pick up that trash, because inevitably it's going to get pushed into the Ohio River. So yeah, if there's nothing along the banks, we definitely always have work for our volunteers to do. And that starts at BB Riverboats at about 8:45 to come in and get registered.
And so basic equipment like gloves, you will get there, but you need to have, I bet, some good shoes, no open-toe shoes.
Yes.
Some pants, and be ready to get grubby, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a fantastic time.
Well, I want to thank Scott Wingate for being with us today, and good luck on River Sweep on this Saturday. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. Selena Reeder is our assistant producer. Layla Shikui is our intern. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I am Dan Hurley. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.